Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to Red or Dead, a bi-weekly podcast where we talk about the world of mysteries and thrillers. This is episode 128, and we are recording on Sunday, May 29th. I'm Katie McLean Horner, along with Nezra Javed, and we are coming to you from Book Riot. Hi, Nezra, how are you doing?
I am okay, except for the, like I was telling you, the allergy season, stuffing up my nose. I'm okay. How are you doing?
I don't have the stuffy nose, but I do have the allergies, yes. So I may also sound a wee bit off in the recording. The allergies have just been absolutely brutal this spring, and yeah, I was telling you about how Illinois is right, and then, although now I think we're kind of moving out of it, but like mid-May is always cottonwood season, and though I just feel like I've been walking around with a constant sinus headache for like the last 3 weeks, and everyone at work has been dealing with the same. We're all just like, we're so stuffy and sneezy and headachey, and we're all just miserable.
Yes. Yeah. Basically, I have had so many headaches where I'm just like, I don't know what to do anymore. I sleep, I drink water, I have cut down on caffeine, but it just doesn't go away. So then I do all of those things again. Like I start drinking my 4 cups of tea all over.
Yeah, it's been a rough couple of weeks, and it's been a rough couple of weeks for lots of reasons, and, you know, we don't need to go into detail and rage and yell, even though I desperately want to, but I would just like to say that I think I speak for most people when I say my heart goes out to everyone in Texas right now and everyone who has been struggling with the news. It's been a really, really hard couple of weeks, I'm not going to lie. And I have channeled a lot of that. I feel like I put everything into work, and then I come home and I'm an absolute couch potato, but I have been able to channel a lot of my anger into contacting my elected representatives. And even though for the most part my elected representatives at the federal level are pretty good, there's still obviously so much more that needs to be done. And I have sent about an email a day, sometimes more, to my senators and, you know, expressing extreme frustration and rage at what has been happening, which is, it's a slightly more useful way to channel my feelings, but obviously it does not feel like it's nearly enough. And I would also like to apologize if anyone follows me on Twitter. I apologize. My Twitter feed has been very, very angry and upset for like the last week or so. So if you've been trying to not have your social media feed bombarded with news updates, I am very sorry about that.
Yeah, no, the news cycle has been rough, and our thoughts to anyone, you know, who is struggling. And I have some, we at work also decided to do actually, like, you know, to start channeling our anger into actions and what little actions we could do. So I'll definitely add some links in the show notes to some petitions that are going around, to, you know, a large scale, like nationwide chain that's going. But yeah, our hearts feel for everyone who is going through a tough time right now. And, you know, do what you need to do for yourself. Step away, take breaks. It's important to know what's going on, but also, you know, take care of yourself.
Yeah, I also signed up for this is a longer term focus, but I did sign up for a postcard writing campaign for swing states that's going to be happening for the November elections this year. So,
oh, nice. I love that.
Yeah, so I'll send a link to the website that I found. And yeah, I signed up for a bunch of postcards, and voter information to be sent to me along with messaging that goes on the postcards. Participants have to provide the postage, but it's a really good low-key way to make an active difference, and it shows that these types of campaigns are actually really effective in getting voter turnout. So if you're looking for something along those lines, I'll make sure to include that link in the show notes as well.
100%. I agree. I remember when the presidential elections were happening, a couple of my friends did this where they started a snail mail and they had like a quick 4 to 5 step on how to vote, how to register, how to check that the registration is up to date. And, you know, it's just, it was a wonderful actionable way. And I think the postage was not that expensive. It's just an actionable, like, you know, it's like channeling your frustration into something, into effective change, hopefully.
Yeah. Very much so.
All right. So take care of yourself. Do what you need to do with that. Let's turn to books. Have you read anything, finished anything recently that you'd like to shout out about?
I have not finished anything recently, but I did just come back from a shopping excursion at Half Price Books this afternoon.
Oh, I love Half Price Books.
So the books that I picked up three. I picked up The Family Plot by Megan Collins. I picked up True Crime Story by Joseph Knox. And I picked up These Toxic Things by Rachel Housel Hall. And yes, I was very happy to find those. Those are all books that I have talked about or have had on my radar for a while, and they were just there, and they were all in paperback. So not only were they at Half Price Books, but they were also cheaper because they were paperbacks. So I am very pleased with my haul today. I have no idea what book I'm going to read next. It may be one of the library books that I checked out a couple weeks ago and haven't gotten to, because that's just how I roll. That is how a Katie do.
That's just life now.
What about you?
First of all, I'm going to say this. Half Price Books is amazing. Oh, I just love it so much. And I'm surprised you found This Toxic Things in paperback, because I have trouble finding that book in print anywhere for some reason in California.
Yeah.
Huh. Maybe I should move to Illinois.
They actually, I think, had it in hardcover and paperback. I did paperback. Whoa. Because it was less expensive. But yeah, I think they had, I'm pretty sure they had two copies of that. I was surprised.
That's how you know that's a good Half Price Books. I want you to, like, you know, keep it in business. Do what you have to do.
There you
go. Buy 10 books every week. Do what you got to do. But what I finished, yes. So I actually did finish something. I finished, I believe I spoke about this in the last or the second to last episode that we spoke in, The Push by Ashley Audrain.
Yes.
I finished it. Oh, it was intense, you guys. It was rough. I'm trying to find the words. Basically, for a lot of trigger warnings, if you are looking at reading this book and you're someone, yeah, I would just check the triggers before going into this book for, you know, harm to children and postpartum depression and mental illness, just these sort of things. Just do your research around the triggers. But the book in itself is this, you never really know if what's going on is in the, you know, director's head or if it's actually happening. But it's like, you know, it's not around a murder or something like that. It's like a mother's, you're inside a mother's brain, and you feel the writing is so well done that you feel the claustrophobia that the narrator, that the character must have been feeling. And it's just, it's like, it's about gaslighting in a way, like how mothers are gaslit and every instinct they have is like, you know, everyone's like, or like the expectations everyone puts on, you know, women, on relationships. And it's just, oh, I have thoughts. But basically, it was definitely worth your time. If books like Defending Jacob, When You Talk About Kevin were your jam, then I recommend you pick this up. It's also very short chapters, and the audiobook narration by Marilyn Ireland was amazing. So yes, I finished that, and I'm just taking a break from I finished it yesterday. I'm a very slow reader. I finished it yesterday, and I'm just taking a break from reading. Like, I had to take, I'm taking a full 24-hour break from reading because that book was intense, but it had, I felt like it had some meaningful things to say, but at the same time, without being overly sentimental or, like, preachy. Like, so I loved it. It was great. So that's the push by Ashley Audrain, and I'm glad I got to finish it.
And now you're just nursing that book hangover.
Yes, basically.
All right. Well, before we jump into this episode, let's go ahead and hear from our first sponsor.
Today's episode is brought to you by Harper Horizon, publisher of Walk, Ride, Paddle. Walk, Ride, Paddle is a captivating memoir of Senator Tim Kaine's physical journey through the Virginia wilderness, but it is also a unique and ultimately optimistic perspective on these pivotal moments in history, offering inspiration, wisdom, and hope. With immediacy and honesty, Kaine pulls back the curtain to reveal his inner thoughts during such monumental times. And Kaine's storytelling gift and wise observations offer a fascinating glimpse into the mind of a seasoned politician and outdoor enthusiast. Walk, Ride, Paddle is available everywhere audiobooks are sold on April 9th. It is narrated and written by Tim Kaine, Virginia senator and former Democratic vice presidential candidate. It's a compelling account of one man's journey across hundreds of miles of Virginia wilderness and a moving testament to the optimistic spirit of America. So make sure to check out Walk, Ride, Paddle by Tim Kaine. And thanks again to Harper Horizon, publisher of Walk, Ride, Paddle, for sponsoring this episode. Today's episode is brought to you by Bloom Books. Charming, easygoing, and rich, Xavier Castillo has the world at his fingertips. He also has no interest in taking over his family's empire, but that hasn't stopped women from throwing themselves at him. Unless, of course, the woman in question is his publicist. The cool, the intelligent, the ambitious Sloane Kensington, who is a high-powered publicist who's used to dealing with difficult clients, but none infuriate or tempt her more than a certain billionaire heir with his stupid dimples and laid-back attitude. She may be forced to work with him, but she'll never fall for him because he's a client and that's all he'll ever be. Right? Right, girl. Like, we all know. So, just in case you didn't know, author Anna Wong is the best-selling author and book talk viral author of the Twisted Love series, the King of Sin series. Miss Wong, gotta go on, okay? Make sure to check out King of Sloth by Anna Wong, and thanks again to Bloom Books for sponsoring this episode.
All right, so if you are a new listener, welcome. If you're a longtime listener, welcome back. As always, we're delighted to have everyone listening to us every 2 weeks. It makes our hearts so happy that everyone just keeps continuing to tune in every 2 weeks. And like we said at the top of the show, we talk about mysteries and suspense and thrillers and true crime and anything that can be categorized as mysterious or suspenseful. If it falls under that umbrella, it's probably fair game for us to talk about. So this is the point in the episode where we always put out a call to our listeners to let us know if you have any suggestions for upcoming episodes, because they really do help us plan so many of the episodes that we've recorded already. They help us get ahead of ourselves a little bit, have a little bit of a plan going a few weeks out. It's a great way for us to know what you, the listeners, would like to hear more of, a great way for us to expand our own reading horizons and talk about interesting topics. So just a win-win situation all around. And in fact, this episode is brought to you by a listener suggestion. So yeah, no, we really, really do use these a lot. So if you have any ideas, you can shoot us an email or reach out to us via social media. We'll have all of our contact information at the end of the show and in the show notes. We always just put out the call ahead of time to get those creative juices flowing, get you thinking. And even if you don't have an idea and you just want to say hi, there's nothing that we enjoy more than hearing from our lovely listeners. So definitely send us a note if you feel so inclined. And if you enjoy this podcast, definitely leave us a review over at Apple Podcasts so that other people can find us. And with that, there hasn't been a ton of news information from the last couple of weeks, so we're just going to kind of skip that part and jump right into the heart of our discussion, which is series. book series, long-running series, do you like series or not? And in fact, the person who contacted me and sent this as a suggestion, I said, wow, I'm a really bad person to ask about this because I really don't read series. So, but Nezra and I were like, no, you know, there's still stuff to talk about because, yeah, you know, 100%. There's, even if you don't read series, like there's stuff to dive into and whatnot. So yeah, we're just going to sit here. We're going to talk about series. So I know we've touched on this before, just, you know, in little bits and pieces in previous discussions, but would you, Nezra, categorize yourself as a series reader?
I would. Let me think about this for a minute. I'm trying to frame it the right way. I would, yes. Yes, actually, I would. I would categorize myself as a series reader. I am not a good series reader. And what I mean by that is that I would not read like something back to back. But I definitely, I found myself, like, I do make it to, like, the third, fourth, or usually I do, like, it takes a very long time to get there. But I do usually stay, yeah. I'm happy to say that I enjoy series. I especially enjoy, like, that sense of, because sometimes when I start a new book and you've had a long day, one of the exhausting things about starting a new book is, like, acclimatizing yourself to a whole, like, that sometimes that's the joy, but sometimes that's the, you know, that's the part that makes you turn on the TV instead, right? Where you have to sort of get familiar with new characters, a new world, a new plot lines. So sometimes having that similar, like that character that you're already familiar with, you know, having your favorite characters come back on the page, it's like a warm hug, like, you know? So I enjoy that. So yeah, actually, as I was speaking this, I thought of three different series that actually I am following and I'm loving. So yes, I'll make sure to mention those as well. What about you, Katie? How has your experience with series been?
See, when I was a kid, and I was, well, a lot of kids' reading is designed around series. And even like for non-mystery stuff, I had, like, I loved The Babysitter's Club, I loved Goosebumps, and like I loved those long-running series. But as I got older, my taste became much more, I became much more interested in standalone stories. And even now, like, there are some authors who I'm like, oh, okay, like, you know, Tana French and the Dublin Murder Squad series, which honestly is almost not, those are almost standalone novels. I actually would, even though there are plot points that connect some of the books to each other, for the most part, they can stand on their own. And I think that's one of the reasons, one of the many reasons why I love Town of French, but that has made that particular series really easy to follow because I don't feel like I have to get caught up with who the characters are, where they were when the last book finished, and all of that stuff. And I think for me, that's a big part of it because I'm definitely not someone who can just read a bunch of books in the same series back to back to back to back. I need much more variety in my reading life than that. And it's interesting working in a library and doing the purchasing for our adult fiction collection because so many of our patrons do read those authors that just every time they come out with a new book, it almost doesn't matter what the book's about. They're like, yep, it's part of that series. I'm going to read it. Like, we've got hardcore Janet Ivanovich fans. They're just like, it just doesn't matter what the plot is. They're reading it for the characters and because they know what type of mystery they're getting. And for me, I like to be surprised and I like to have more variety. And even when I find a series that I do really like the characters, like that's come to mind that I've talked about semi-recently is Louise Luna with the Alice Vega series. And the first book was fantastic. I really, really loved it. And I thought, I was like, okay, yeah, you know, I really loved it. I'm going to jump into the second one. And I did. And I didn't get very far because I'm like, okay, I need to break up the reading a little bit. I can't have that much similarity in my back-to-back books. So I think for me, that's just in general a big part of why I don't gravitate towards series. And even when I find one I like, it's usually a long time before I can get back to it. And then the whole thing of oh, okay, do I have to reread the other books but to remember what's happening in this one? Like, yeah. So it kind of becomes a lot of work. And I think in general, that's why I'm not a huge fan. This is also a big reason why I don't watch Marvel movies, because to get caught up to where everyone is at this point is going to require so much homework that it's not even worth it to me at this point.
Katie, how could you with the new Doctor Strange that just came out? Actually, yes, I let it go because I did not like the Eternals movie. No one come for me, please. It was not good. But yeah, oh, okay. So we're a bit of a Marvel nerd in our house. We watched all the 22 movies before we watched the latest Avengers that came out. It was so much fun. But yeah, okay. It looks like we're going to have a variety in this episode. I love it. I'm ready for this.
Which is good.
Yes. We don't want both of us to be like, nah, we don't like series. Okay, bye. See you later. But yes. So what do you, have you noticed any recent trends around books? And, you know, like, have you been seeing, like, especially with your ordering of the catalog, right? Have you been seeing, like, every other book you order is maybe series? Have you seen the reduced in number? Because you've been doing this for a while. So, like, have you noticed a shift in pattern? Like, do you think any, you know, yeah, just, like, what have you observed so far?
Well, I will say there are a ton of new series being started, which is really frustrating because when you hear about, like, oh, this debut novel, it's the first in a series, and, like, it's getting a lot of buzz, I'm like, okay, awesome. But there are so many of them, and the second novels in the series don't get as much attention usually unless they are, you know, unless there's something really, really exceptional about them, or it's a series that just happened to kind of really kind of catch my attention, and so I'm already looking for it. But I would say one of the most difficult things is keeping up with all of the new series. And at some point, and this is a mental note to myself, I'm going to have to look at the books that I have ordered over the last few years that are, like, first in a series. And when deciding, okay, am I going to order the second book in the series, I'm going to have to look at how well the first ones did. And because our budget is very limited, our space is very limited. And so, you know, which series are the ones that I'm going to try and keep up with? Because half the time I'm like, oh yeah, this author, I remember that. And I'm like, what do you mean this is book 4 in the series? What happened to 2 and 3? Did I order those? I have no idea. It's kind of difficult. But we are seeing a ton of new series, like I said. And we're really not, even though there are still a ton of big name authors, like I said, the Janet Ivanovich, James Patterson, Stuart Woods, all of those authors, even the ones that pass away, their series still keep going. Stieg Larsson, Robert B. Parker, those are all series that have been picked up by another author to kind of continue on with that character. And while those authors are still really going strong, I'm not seeing a lot of newer authors kind of joining that fold. I mean, if I had to stop and really think, which I'm not able to do because we are recording right now, I could probably come up with some that I'm like, oh yeah, they've been strong series contenders for like the last 10 or 15 years. But a lot of the authors that we're seeing that have, you know, 20, 30 books in a series, they started writing decades ago and just keep continuing into the 21st, far into the 21st century. But I don't see a ton of new blood in that area, so to speak. Unless, I was going to say, Nezra, if you can think of anyone that might be comparable, Louise Penny, maybe. She was, I mean, her first books were written like in the early 2000s, I think. She might be the best example I could think of some of these other authors. But yeah, there's just, that's not how publishing seems to be going right now.
I think a few I can think of is the Sherry Thomas Lady Sherlock series. I feel like that's on its sixth book. I think so.
Yeah, it's definitely got a few in there.
But I agree to your point. I feel like even in the series that are being published, they're not going beyond more than like a duology or like a four book part. Like it's not, there's a finality to it where they're like, you know, this is the final book of the series or this is of the trilogy. That's something I've noticed, that they're keeping it short, which I 100% appreciate. Like, you know, ain't nobody got that kind of stamina. Yeah. Well, people do actually, but I don't.
No.
But yes.
The same thing I think can be said of a lot of TV series too. Like, we still have Law and Order and Law and Order SVU and CSI and, you know, all of these long-running crime shows, but we're seeing a lot more of, like, either limited series where it's just like, it's like Sharp Objects, which ran for just the one 8-episode season, yep. Or you're seeing stuff end after seasons 5 or 6. Like, we're starting to see, maybe it's, you know, and maybe that, now I'm like, my brain's like making connections, you know, that might be part of the one thing that's influencing kind of publishing in general. We're, you know, these stream, how we stream stories and the types of shows that are being made for Netflix and Hulu, they're kind of designed with a closed story arc and not like this sprawling, you know, just kind of what, you know, that just this sprawling story that just keeps going and going and new characters come in and old characters come back and, you know, it just kind of keeps going.
Yes, I can 100% see that happening.
Yeah, so that might be why we're not seeing as much. We're just, our entertainment preferences are changing.
Yeah, for the better, I guess. I'll take it.
Yeah.
But with that, do you want to jump into our picks?
Yes. Well, actually, before we jump into that, I do want to ask you a question, since you're more of a series reader than I am. And this was a question that our listener specifically mentioned when they pitched this idea to me. Do you have any tips for jumping into a long-running series if you've never read anything? Like, I know you said you watched all 20-some Marvel movies before the most recent Avengers movie came out, but, like, in terms of some of these long-running mystery series, do you think someone has to start at the beginning, or can they kind of just jump in anywhere, or, you know, kind of what are your thoughts on that?
For me, usually what makes you pick up a series is someone recommending them strongly, right? Someone being like, you have to pick this up, it's worth the hype. Like the Sherry Thomas ones, there, I have a couple of friends who have read all 5 or 6 of the books and they won't stop talking about them, right? Or it has piqued my interest in some way. So I think the first thing I've tried is, usually I always do the first book in a series on audio. Because here's why. Because I feel like the first book in a series is always a setup, right? It's always going to be slower. It's introducing you to the world, to the character arcs, to the setting. You're familiarizing yourself with that situation, with the author's writing style. And I feel like audio makes it easier. Audio gives me more perseverance, because if it's like a slumpy point in the book, I can sort of, you know, like go make myself dinner or do some laundry and sort of push through that. Whereas in print, I'm more likely to get, like, you know, impatient and be like, oh, this is not working for me, let's just switch to another book. So that's the first one. I usually do the first book of any series always on, like, unless the narrators, I cannot get along with the narrator, but otherwise it's usually on audio, the first book. And that's what helps me sort of establish that, oh yeah, this is a series I want to follow. So that's one tip I'd have. Like, you know, try it out in audio. You're likely to have more patience. You're likely to, you know, enjoy it more and just, like, forget that you're in a series situation. That's first. And then, yes, the second one is, if there's a series you're interested in, like with the Marvel movies, right? I track maybe like a new book is coming out, and then I use that as like a motivator to get me to read that book. So for instance, like a series that I I recently have gotten into is the Finlay Donovan series. So the second book came out. So, but apparently looks like we're going to get a third book in the beginning of next year. So I have this mental note in my head that before the third book, I have to make sure I finish the second book. Like, it's not a pressure sort of situation, but I like build anticipation that way, you know, that then like read it in time, give myself a time frame, that read it in time before this book comes out in this time period. So those two things, I think, are something that gives me excited and makes me more likely to pick up a series. So try that. If that doesn't work, I mean, there's always like, you know, everyone has, hopefully, I hope everyone's lucky enough to have trusted people they can go to for recommendations about, and, you know, like ask, when you ask, something I've done over in my life is when I ask them for recommendations and they recommend something, I'm like, but why did you like it? To see if it would work for me or not. So like, for instance, the friend that recommended Sherry Thomas to me, they love historical romance, whereas I like contemporary romance more, right? Or where, so it has elements of historical romance, which they found intriguing, or like they love Sherlock Holmes. I am lukewarm about Sherlock Holmes. So it's just like those things, like, you know, be specific and like, why do you love it? You know, like put your recommender under a microscope so they never talk to you again. But, you know, yeah, you'll get a recommendation out of it. But yeah, those are my tips.
So then I've got one quick tip to throw in there that I just thought of while you were talking about this. I think, like we talked about, there are a lot of, like, the really big name authors, a lot of them write stories that follow a particular formula where there isn't a lot of, like, character change between books. It's, you know, the plot changes, but ultimately it has a lot of the same building blocks. And if you're looking to jump into one of those series, you're probably okay to pick up wherever you want to in the series. Like, you can go all the way back to the beginning if you want, but you can probably pick it up, you know, just about anywhere and, you know, follow along with what's happening. Whereas if you have a series like possibly Louise Penny, where the characters are more complex, or it seems like there are connections and characters that change and grow from story to story, and part of that is crucial to the development of the actual mystery within that specific book, those are ones that you'll probably want to take a look at and start from the beginning, or at least close to the beginning. And yeah, because that way, because you might be missing out on some really crucial character building blocks. And of course, this is with the caveat that there are some people that just absolutely adamantly refuse to start any series anywhere else other than the beginning. If you're one of those people, well, your decision has just, I mean, it's just been made a lot easier. If there's a series, you start from the beginning. But if that's not a requirement for you, that's something to consider as well.
I would like to say that I am people. I cannot start a book right away. But yes.
No, for me, it depends. Although I will say, and I have said this before, if you are looking to start Sue Grafton's Alphabet Murder Kinsey Malone series, do not start with K is for Knife. It is, I think it's K is for Knife or K is for Killer. I can't remember which one. But don't start with K, because that was the one I jumped into for a reading assignment, a professional reader's advisory group study thing. And I picked that book to start with, and it was absolutely the wrong book to start with, because, yeah, there were way too many loose ends, which was very unusual because none of her other books did that. So that's my other tip. If you're interested in Sue Grafton, don't start with book K. And with that, before we jump into our series picks, let's go ahead and hear from our second sponsor.
Today's episode is brought to you by Bloom Books. Taming Seven is an epic and unforgettable love story in the international best-selling and TikTok phenomenon The Boys of Tommen series from Chloe Walsh. So Tommen's cheekiest lad, Jared Gibbsy Gibson, has always been a comedian, but inside he is haunted by events of the past and he uses humor to cope, hiding his true self from the world. Then you have Claire Biggs, who is the epitome of sunshine. She's always loved Gibbsy, her brother's friend and her favorite neighbor. She also has always seen a side to him that no one else seems to notice, and she becomes determined to tame her wild at heart childhood best friend. So the Boys of Tommen series is an internationally best-selling YA romance series that has taken TikTok by storm. It's perfect for readers looking for new adult slash crossover romance, dual point of views, friends to lovers, marathon worthy TikTok books, and angsty tearjerkers. Taming Seven is published today, and it's the fifth book in the series, so make sure to check it out. And thanks again to Bloom Books for sponsoring this episode. Today's episode is brought to you by Underlined. Haven't read a Natasha Preston thriller yet? We dare you to try. She's known for her line of chilling young adult suspense novels like The Cellar and The Fear. The New York Times and USA Today bestselling author excels at putting fear into the hearts of her readers. So her newest book, titled The Dare, is about five friends whose senior prank goes very, very wrong. This is the perfect graduation season read for thriller fans who can handle a good scare. The Dare is now available wherever books are sold. You can learn more about it at getunderlined.com. So again, this young adult thriller is about five friends with a prank that goes wrong. There are dark secrets, a twisty plot, and creepy I Know What You Did Last Summer vibes. So if you know, it's graduation season, you want to revel in that, but like make it scary, you know what I mean? Pick up The Dare by Natasha Preston, and thanks again to Underline for sponsoring this episode.
All right, Nezra, kick us off. What is your first series recommendation?
All right, so my first series recommendation is Marion Lane and the Midnight Murder by D.A. Wilberg. And this is the first book in the Marion Lane series. And when this book initially came out, it was a standalone. But I think it was so well received, and it itched that scratch so well that it is now a series. And the second book just came out in early March this year. What this book is about, though, and this book is fantastic on audio, it's basically you go into the hearts of London, underground London, where Michelle, she receives a letter that something horrible is about to happen. And, you know, she goes to find out what's happening and, like, who sent that letter. And then once she's finding out who could have sent that letter, something happens to her. And then we have Marion Lane, our main character, who finds herself at the center of this investigation. She walks in, something has happened to Michelle, and like she walks in, she's a very initial recruit to this organization that Michelle was a part of that operates in the undergrounds. And so she decides to, you know, solving this mystery of what happened to Michelle, who killed her, is going to be the reason, is how she's going to sort of bring herself to the spotlight. And so she starts putting all these pieces together, and it's like a underground puzzle situation that's happening over here. But at the same time, it's like a perfect book for when you do not want gore or like too much darkness, but you also want like high stakes, but not so much that your anxiety goes through the roof. And the writing style is very like Agatha Christie style, where it's simple, but like on the sly side, like, you know, the author is saying something, but they're also like underhandedly saying something else. And it's very smart. And then if, you know, you enjoyed books like Tuesday Mooney, Dogs to Ghosts, and like, you know, you're looking for something like that scavenger huntish feel, this is not a scavenger hunt book, but it has that feel to it where it's like putting together of clues. It's like you're very much part of the putting together of the clues. And then the London Underground in 1950s is just, it's like a historical ride. So it's just so much, it's like a perfect book. It's not a cozy, but it's also not like an intense historical mystery. It's somewhere in between, and it makes it the perfect one. So that's Marion Lane and the Midnight Murder by D.A. Wilberg.
All right. So my first series pick is not actually a series, woohoo, but I think it really encapsulates the good parts of a series that I can relate to, and also frees me from the burden of having to go back and remember everything that happened in a series. And that is basically every book that has been written by Riley Sager. And like I said, all of these books are actually standalones. And I know I've talked about Riley Sager a lot, but I love his books so much. So I kind of knew this, but didn't realize until just now when I pulled up a list of the books that he's published so far. He's put out a book every year since 2017. His first one was Final Girls, which was unbelievable. Holy cow, this is a book I will hand out to just about everyone. And what with his books, so all of the characters are different. All of the plots and things are different. They don't connect to each other in any way, but thematically, they're all very similar in that each book takes on a different trope or setup that you would find in a horror movie. So Final Girls, it takes on the concept of the final girl and slasher movies and stuff like that. The Last Time I Lied talks is set at a summer camp in the middle of the woods in an isolated mountain area. Lock Every Door, that takes place in an old hotel building converted into apartments, something a la Rosemary's Baby. Home Before Dark is kind of Amityville Horror style. Survive the Night is Hitchhikers and plays with those types of tropes. And his next one that's coming out in June, The House Across the Lake, that looks at kind of voyeurism or like that kind of stalker feeling, like you're in an isolated house, maybe in the woods, maybe in the mountains, and it just feels like, you know, someone's watching. And so he takes on all of these easily recognizable themes, and he turns them into their own stories. And in a, you know exactly what you're going to get with his books. They are incredibly fast-paced. Like, these are easily books you can complete in 1 to 2 sittings. Not a problem. These are weekend books. They're popcorn books. Like, there's not going to be a lot of grappling with really heavy stuff, but they are entertaining as hell. And you're just along for the ride. You're expecting twists. You're expecting creepiness. You're expecting a well-thought-out plot. And that's what you get every time. But like I said, because they're standalones, you don't have to remember what happened in the last book. So you can just pick up the next one and go. You can pick it up at any point within the quote-unquote series. Although I do recommend Final Girl starting with, because it is just so banana pants amazing. Oh my god, it's so good. But yeah, so I feel like Riley Sager writes the perfect type of series that really speaks to me in so many ways. So yeah, so all of the Riley Sager books, that's my first pick.
I can 100% see that. Like, I agree that it is, you know what you're getting into, and his books are sort of like, they're play on different tropes in the horror genre, which kind of does make it a series. So I love it. My second pick is My Heart is a Chainsaw by Stephen Graham Jones, which was, again, not going to be a series, but now it is, because, you know, the first book was so, I'm sure there's like, you know, I'm halfway through this book, and my initial hesitations with this book were, I'll go into them in a minute. I had initial hesitations with this book, but they were all shunned away. So, you know, if you share them, maybe it's worth a shot. So my A Heart is a Chainsaw, which is the first in the Lake Witch trilogy series, trilogy, is basically about Jade, who is an half Indian with an abusive father, an absent mother, and basically she's in the center of a town which wants nothing to do with her. And so she basically lives in this world that she's created, full of horror movies, and her days pass in trying to, you know, unfold the plot, find out what happens at the end, who survives. But when blood actually starts to spill around her, she is the only one who realizes that all of the things that are happening are actually right out of a slasher horror movie. And since no one is going to take her seriously, it is up to her to make it all come together before, you know, she eventually becomes the victim. So it's like a play on, like, it is definitely a play on the whole Final Girls trope. There's definitely that, but it's also not that. It's like more, it goes beyond that. It's sort of like a vigilante sort of situation where she's like, I'll undertake the justice her myself. But the fear, like the trigger that's underlying this course of action, is her fear of becoming a final girl, which she gets from watching so many slasher movies and horror movies. So it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of lots going on here. And one of my fears was that obviously since it's a slasher horror-inspired movie, there's going to be a lot of gratuitous violence. And it is not there. It's there. Please do read your trigger warnings. But it's definitely there. But it's very well done. And it serves the purpose of the story. So that was one of my very huge hesitations that I had, which have still so far, halfway through the book, been appeased. So yeah, there you have it. So My Heart is a Chainsaw, the first in the Lakewood trilogy, and the second book is out already, so you don't have to wait too long. So you'll get to see Jade take on more people and more murderers and slashers. So yeah.
All right, so just so I don't end this segment on, well, I'm not recommending an actual series. A series I will recommend, and I will go through this really quickly because we've talked about this series so much, but I really do love this one, is the Pervine Mystery Series by Sujata Massey, the first book of which is The Widows of Malabar Hill. And if for some reason you have not heard us talk about this book before, it's takes place in the 1920s. Pervine Mystery is a fictional character, but she is based on the actual first woman to practice law in India during that time. And so she is working as a part of her father's legal practice. She has been to school, she's received training, but because she is a woman, she is very, very limited in terms of the type of assistance that she can provide with legal matters. And so her first case is, she is dealing with a very wealthy man's estate. He has just passed away, and he has three wives who are, because of their faith, are not permitted to speak to men. They're not permitted to be in the same room as men. And so Pervine's father thinks that this is a really good opportunity for his daughter to step in and handle the transactions and the legal matters because she is a woman and therefore can speak directly to them. And when she investigates, or when she starts talking to them, she realizes that there may have been something fishy going on with the husband's will. She's starting to think that these women might be influenced by someone else in the vicinity that doesn't have their best interests at heart. And then there's another murder that happens. All of a sudden, this gets way more complicated than she thought. And this is really, I was surprised at how much I loved the first book and the second one. I haven't picked up the third one yet, but I have read the first two. And what I really liked about it was the character of Pervine Mystery. You can tell that she is trying her best and she has the best intentions for the people that she's working with. She wants to help people. She wants to be a support system for women that are otherwise kind of shunned or looked down upon in everyday society at that time. And she has really good intentions, but she keeps getting blocked and she keeps getting frustrated by the social barriers that are in place. And she keeps going, but she makes mistakes sometimes, and not kind of like blunderous, oops, that was a silly thing, why did you do that? But, you know, she's trying to make logical decisions and they sometimes don't work. And she gets really frustrated, but she kind of picks herself up and tries again. Like, she has a really wonderful sensibility about her without feeling too like, it doesn't feel like she's perpetually chipper or be like, oh, well, I'll get them next time. Like, she's really struggling with a lot of stuff, but she keeps going. And I just really loved her character. And the mystery itself was not, understated isn't necessarily the word I want to use, but the book is about more than just the mystery. And it's so well done. It's so thoughtfully written. And you can tell that Sujata Massey she puts so much thought into crafting these characters and the plot and how that connects with the history of the time. And it's just remarkably well done. And it was such an enjoyable reading experience that I jumped into the second one. And at some point, I will pick up the third one because, again, I loved Parveen's character so much. And again, that is the Parveen Mystery Series by Sujata Massey. And the first book is The Widows of Malabar Hill.
I co-signed that recommendation very heartily. Obviously, we could. Well, I think it would be a mixed bag. We could go on about our feelings about series. but if you have read any of the ones that we've mentioned, if you have picks of your own that maybe you were not a series reader and now you are one because of one, we'd love to hear them. But with that, let's jump into our new releases. So the new release I have for this week is More Than You'll Ever Know by Katie Gutierrez that comes out June 7th. It is basically about, and it's about a woman caught leading a double life after one husband murders the other, and the true crime writer who becomes obsessed with telling her story. The Dance, set in 1985, where Laura Rivera marries Andres Russo in Mexico City, even though she's already married to Fabian Rivera in Laredo, Texas, and they share twin sons. Through her career as an international banker, Laura splits her time between two countries and two families until the truth is revealed and one husband is arrested for murdering the other. In 2017, while trawling the internet for the latest, most sensational news reports, struggling true crime writer Casey Bowman encounters an article detailing the tragic final act. Casey is immediately enticed by what is not explored. Why would a woman, a mother, risk everything for a secret double marriage? Casey sees an opportunity. She'll track Laura down and capture the full picture, the choices, the deceptions that led to this disaster. But the more time she spends with Laura, the more Casey questions the facts surrounding the murder itself. Soon, her determination to uncover the truth could threaten to derail Laura's new quiet life and expose the many secrets both women are hiding. So that's More Than You'll Ever Know by Katie Gutierrez. And if for fans of true crime, and I feel like this sounds very similar to Simone St. James, the book of cold cases that I am reading right now. So I'm excited for this one.
So my first pick for new releases this episode is Counterfeit by Kirsten Chen, which also comes out on June 7th. And it follows Ava Wong, who considers herself a straight-laced, rule-abiding Chinese-American lawyer. She has a very successful husband, a young son, a beautiful home. But ultimately, as is usually the case in these books, her world is crumbling beneath her. Her marriage is falling apart. Her law degree that she paid a lot of money for has not been used in years, and she's really struggling with being a parent. So enter Winnie Feng, who was Ava's college roommate, who comes from China, and who abruptly dropped out of college under mysterious circumstances 20 years ago. So now Winnie is looking to reconnect with Ava. But the girl that Ava knew, who was shy and awkward, has now been replaced with a very confident woman of the world. She is just absolutely dripping in luxury goods, including a coveted Birkin in classic orange. And the secret to her success is that Winnie has developed an ingenious counterfeit scheme that involves importing near-exact replicas of luxury handbags, and now she needs someone with a U.S. passport to help manage her business. Someone who would never be suspected of engaging in any kind of illegal activity, so basically Ava. But when their success is threatened and Winnie vanishes, Ava is left to face the consequences. So this is definitely a crime book in that it talks about a crime with, you know, counterfeit luxury goods. But it's also a kind of like a darkly sharply humorous story with a feminist bent, with a strong point of view and an axe to grind. And it's a peek behind the curtain of the upscale designer storefronts and the factories where these goods are produced and then how they're counterfeited. So yeah, there's just a lot happening in this book. And then on top of that, there's the myth of the model minority and, you know, how a woman carves out a place for herself in in the world. And there's just so much happening. And it sounds so, so interesting. So if you're looking for a crime novel with a literary bend and a lot to say, you'll definitely want to pick this one up. It's called Counterfeit by Kirsten Chen, and it comes out on June 7th.
All right. And with that, that is our show. Thank you so much to everyone for listening. Thank you so much to our wonderful sound editor, Jen Zing, for always making us sound great. For show notes, you can head over to bookriot.com/listen. For more book recommendations and bookish goodness, head over to bookriot.com. And don't forget to check out our full stable of podcasts at bookriot.com/listen, or just search Book Riot on your podcast player of choice. If you want to send us an email, feedback, or show suggestions, you can reach us at redordead@bookriot.com. Otherwise, you can find me on Twitter at Javed Nusra. That's JavedNusrah.
And you can find me on Twitter at KT_librarylady. And we will talk to you next time. Bye.